old shit new.
That's why Duggan is the mayor. People didn't go out and vote.
I was trying to find out if he was living in the mansion, you know, which Charlie told me he wasn't, so I put a bright eye to find out if he was.
No bullshit news.
Just bear that in mind.
It's a big corruption umbrella. Okay. And what he is, there's white justice and black justice.
I could live 10,000 lifetimes and never live up to the name of the Honorable Coleman Young.
It's hard when we pay our taxes, our property taxes and everything, and it gets turned around and put into for development profit.
No bullshit news.
Karen, we're doing pretty good. I'm listening to that. That's a good guess.
I would listen.
You would listen? I can't even hear her. Can you hear her? Try it again.
All right. I said I would listen. Am I on? Am I speaking loud enough?
Yeah, you know, people still bitch about that.
I don't understand why. I am almost kissing the mic. I mean, I don't know how much louder or closer I can be unless we're in person, which we need to do soon, Charlie.
Go on, give that a kiss, Karen.
No.
Just give it a kiss.
No. I don't know it well enough. This is actually a new mic, so no, we're not that familiar.
Joey, did you wipe these down?
Yes, he did. This whole thing is clean. He is
pull that mic up, Joey. I want you to talk in here. Because Bob's in Africa, so you're filling in for Bob.
Yeah, I just tried to clean up a little bit before.
You cleaned up a lot, and I certainly appreciate it. Oh,
you sound exactly like him, too. Yeah. He's the exact opposite of Bob.
He is.
Do you drink? See? Exact opposite of Bob.
No drink, no smoke. So,
welcome to No Bullshit News Hour, right? Next week's news today and a little bit of last week's news with some interpretation as to what's going on. So we'll hit you with all the important local news, state news, national news. But first, let me tell you about David Hall, who took a chance on the Drew and Mike podcast in 2016, and it's led to many money-saving refis, many first homes, and many dream homes. Now, Hall Financial is putting his support behind the No Bullshit News Hour as well. Hall Financial offers lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. The average refi takes 44 days. Hall Financial averages 19 days. So you want to get that done, and you want to get it done now. Email dhall@hallfg.com to get the ball rolling. Or call 248-308-5000. You could be 19 days to saving money refinancing your home with Hall Financial. Maybe you want to take money out of your home or shorten the length of your home. Not the length of your home.
The length of your mortgage.
The length of the mortgage, the time to pay
or
for
your home.
Come on, Drew. Email dhall@hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. 600 five-star reviews. Be sure to mention the No Bullshit News Hour. We want David Hall to know we appreciate him giving this young network, the Red Shovel Studios, a shot. NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. And as always, got a little music for me, Joey. American Coney Island, founded by Gus Carrolls in 1972. Fucking it up. In 1917.
That was 100 years ago.
102 years ago. It's Detroit's oldest family-run restaurant and is the original home of the famous Detroit Coney Dog with chili, mustard, and Vidalia onions. Located in downtown Detroit at Lafayette and Michigan Avenue. Always delicious. Always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Also, a location in Las Vegas at the D Hotel and the Detroit Zoo.
Yep.
Nice place to get a beer out back for all you miserable dads. That's where you'll find me. The dogs snap when you bite them, and the chili is a 100-year-old family recipe made especially for the American Coney Dog and the former gamblers and illegal drinkers in the basement there. And the beer has been cold since 1917. And don't forget, every Friday, no, that's Lent. That's over, right?
Very much over.
Okay.
I can still practice it, though.
Yeah, try the cod sandwich. I think they should put that on all the time, Pacific cod sandwich. Order a Coney Island kit straight to your or a friend's door. Go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. Damn. I guess I'm missing Bob. I'm screwing it all up.
No, you're not, Charlie. It's fine.
Steve-O, you there?
I'm here.
This is everybody's favorite super liberal progressive reporter to hate or to love, Steve Neveling, the Motor City Muckraker, now an ass kicker over at Detroit Metro Times. We still call it Detroit Metro Times?
Or just we can just call it Metro Times.
Yeah, but, you know, we got people, like, listening in Kazakhstan, dude, so I think we kind of...
That's true.
You know?
What were the only alternatives?
To what?
That's our logo, man. That's our slogan.
Well, you know what? Let me start out by this. City Hall is bitching at me again. You know what it is this time, just before I got here? That's why I'm off kilter.
What did you do, Charlie?
Because I wrote last week, as I left you, like the east side was flooding. And in the backdrop, it's almost like a picture of like antebellum South. There's the mayor. And behind him, it's a bunch of black dudes filling up sandbags, right?
Antebellum.
Yeah. Those guys bitched to me. They came up to me. And I followed them around for a couple of days. A lot of them are ex-convicts. Trying to get a new start in life. They have to have a job. And the mayor throws press conferences with these guys, brings them around. They're boarding up these abandoned houses that we were supposed to tear down. And they have no benefits. They complain they don't have the equipment. It's a dangerous job. And one guy was telling me they boarded up the dope man's house, right? And the dope man peeled up, jumped out of the car, started bitching, you're boarding up my place of business. He told him, you know, hey, man, take it up with the city. The next day, dude's walking home because the house he was boarding up is near his home on the east side. And the dope man just happened to see him. He was wearing his city stuff after work. Dope man gets out of the car, stabs him through the arm, stabs him in the wrist, stabs him in the chest. He goes off to the hospital for 6 days, two surgeries, right? So his hand's all limp. Can't pay the bill.
My goodness.
Dope man stabbed him. Can't pay the bill. Why? No benefits. Look, even the maquiladoras in Mexico, you work there 90 days, you get benefits. When you're trotting these guys around, showing how great you are getting real Detroit employed, right? And they have no benefits. And we, the taxpayers, right, are going to pick up that bill of his because he can't pay it at $10 an hour.
Wow.
Right? So now I get an email today, City Hall. They admit you can make up to $13 an hour if you're a crew leader, right? They don't need respirators because they don't go into the houses with asbestos and lead, but they do.
But how do you know that? I mean, have the homes been tested for that before they start to go into them, clean them out?
They say the guys aren't allowed to go into the house to board them up, but the guys go into the house, just drive around Detroit and you'll see they're boarded up from the inside, right? Because when you're carrying huge pieces of plywood, you can't stand on a step ladder, hold it and drill it in, nail it with a gun. You go in where you can stand on some. So they talk about falling through porches, the floors, and they're saying, no way whatsoever they instructed to go into the buildings. Then why are they going in the buildings? Then the guy says, in this 2-year program, we've boarded up 17,000 houses. Do the math. 260 working days a year, 2 years, 17,000. That's 4 houses an hour? It's bullshit. I call it, it's bullshit. Pay a fair wage. Where's the money for the demo? Didn't the government send us $250 million to tear these down, not board them up?
That's a good question, Charlie. I mean, if you remember, there was a shift in terms of management and oversight to the land bank, which took it from legislative oversight of city council. So there's that gray area in terms of where is the money?
Steve, where's the money?
Well, the money, it appears, is being spent on some of our billionaires, Tony Suave and the Maroons. You'll probably remember last week, Duggan announced that they struck a deal.
Wait, we're going to a whole new thing here. I'm not done with this bullshit.
Oh, that money? Oh, well, I'm just saying, this is where some of the money's going.
So you're saying some of the federal money that was allocated for demolition in the city of Detroit is now being used, directed toward the property acquisition.
No, that's not it.
Okay, what is it?
What's going on with the demo money, right, is we've misspent it. We're tied up in a huge federal corruption probe. The feds put out that note saying, at this date, we do not anticipate charging any more public officials. Well, I knocked on a few doors like I promised you last week, right? I talked to some of the public officials. They were visited by the feds. I talked to people in the state government. They were visited by the feds. What may be going on, and again, maybe, I'm not saying, a huge civil suit because the state was involved with this, right? The Fed sent the money to the state. State sent it to the city. That was Snyder and the Republicans. You got Duggan and the Democrats in the city. What do? How do they recoup the money? If the feds cannot have a slam dunk and send you to prison, they don't want to take you to trial. So if you bring a civil suit, it's simply preponderance over the evidence, 51%. So what does this mean in an election year? Michigan, Trump, the state's on the hook, the city's on the hook, Whitmer's got to make a deal. That's what I smell because, yes, these guys were visited. The feds don't come nine deep to do nothing, right? They came nine deep with these lawyers. So keep your eye on that. And what's the consequence? The consequence is a bunch of dudes with no respirators, no gloves, even though you say you give them to them, got to buy their own boots at $10 an hour, right? We're talking about $250 million. This was supposed to change lives. I don't know.
Steve?
I don't know, Steve.
I don't know either. This whole thing has been outrageous. I mean, the money should have been spent on helping people stay in their homes. It's a lot more cost-effective to do that, and they decided to go the other way.
That is true. This money was TARP money, right? Trouble Asset Relief Program, to help people with their mortgages. They decided to reroute it. People lost their homes, and now we're demolishing them. Right? So now we got 4 dozen appointees or so in the mayor's administration making over $100,000. As a comparison, Karen, you were in the Bing administration. How many people before the bankruptcy made $100,000?
12, 10, 12, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote a story on it. That's exactly right.
So where's that money coming from?
Let me throw this in there. This is a small caveat. Steve, do you remember early on in this administration, you and I spoke because whenever they announced a new appointee, there were two key factors that were missing that were always included in any earlier announcement: where the person lived and how much they were making.
That's right.
And Steve did a story, and this was, you know, certainly there have been staff changes or additions, but Steve had to FOIA the information to find out just who lived where and how much they were making.
Yeah. And, we found out that the more the employees made, the more likely they were to live outside of the city. So the people with the most power and influence in the city were people who don't live there.
Yeah. And so the city's not happy. And now we have, when we left you last week, a few hours later, and we'll get to this, Steve, the Chrysler deal, the Fiat Chrysler deal, the Italian company deal, wrapped inside of that, sort of to tuck it away and maybe not get its attention, is the fact that the mayor's wife is leaving him. They're divorcing, right? And all of this blows up from the mayor's gal pal getting city money while the mayor got a garage door opener to her house in Wixom, right? Now what we're doing is deflecting. Did you give her money, Mr. Mayor? Well, I gave it to the university, who gave it to the program that she runs. Or there's a nonprofit. Did it get the money? They had a big gala ball. How did she get paid is the question, right? So now the Free Press is being sued by her because they say the way they report it was false. It wasn't through a nonprofit. It was through the university to the program. Come the
so
fuck
So they had
on.
A fiduciary, perhaps, but she still received it.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, Wayne State actually released a statement yesterday saying that that characterization wasn't true, that, in fact, that money did not go to Wayne State. So there's a lot of questions about where that money has actually come, which is why the attorney general is investigating this now.
Let's redo here. Watch. You want to hear how ridiculous it is? I found this on my phone. You know, I went to that press conference last week to ask him point blank. Stop dicking around with nonprofit in the program through. What is it? What is it? So here, just listen here.
Was the money directed to the program?
Wayne State University
was it to the university or to the program within the university?
To the university.
The global.
The mayor's answered the question.
I'm not clear. I don't want to get it wrong because he wants us to get it right. Sir, one more time. Did the money go directly to the program or to the university to the program?
The city contracts went to the university.
Mm-hmm.
The fundraising went to the university foundation, to the university.
And they decided to direct it to the program.
You're talking to the university about that, but it went to the university foundation. No money ever went to a nonprofit.
No, not the nonprofit, to the program. The nonprofit.
It goes to the university, and the university runs the program. So it got to the program.
Okay.
My point is not that it didn't go to the program. My point is to characterize it as having been directed to a nonprofit. If you look at what the OIG...
I didn't ever do that. I'm saying the program.
The OIG is specifically investigated.
Okay.
Listen to this guy. How do you know so much if you don't know anything?
Who was trying to cut you off, Charlie?
John Roach, his official... is that me?
Yeah.
John Roach is paid to, like, get in the way in case the question gets too hard. And, you know, send nasty emails. Trying to obfuscate things. Dude. Your wife hasn't been at the Manoogian since, what, October? Maybe she's up north. Your girlfriend's getting money. Does it matter where? You know why your girlfriend shouldn't get money? You know why?
Why?
Because it looks bad.
It does.
Like this.
It does. And nobody's talked about a question of character or integrity for an elected official in the middle. I mean, because obviously, I'm gonna speak just specifically from a woman's perspective.
Oh, I love it.
I don't think that given the length of time that they've been married and the kinds of things that I know that they have publicly, you know, been through in terms of, you know, where he's been and what he's done, that was a straw that broke the camel's back. That wasn't the first thing or the first time. And she just said, no, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm out.
Why do it now? That's what
I don't know. But it had to have been something because she has, you know, I mean, as most women that are married to high-powered, visible men, they protect the brand. She would have stuck it out until the end of the term or something.
The Bill and Hillary model.
Exactly. She's like, I'm out. So in my personal opinion, I don't know anything. Nobody said anything. Nobody's talked to me. But I'm just looking at it from a woman's perspective. That was not the first incident or issue. Now, I'm not saying there are other relationships. Maybe he didn't.
Oh, I'll say it.
Maybe he didn't put the toilet seat down. I don't know. But that wasn't the first.
I bet he needs a step stool to get up to it.
That's
kind of a short guy.
Hey, I'm short. I leave short people
alone. Yeah, so
yeah, but you sit. Yeah, but you're spry. Look, I go like this, okay? I don't give a shit. Again, I've always said it. I don't care who you sleep with. It's the money. So now that you made a spectacle of a broke town, this town's broke, and we will get to this Chrysler
and
deal.
And broken.
It's broke, and big stuff's on the horizon. We're not paying our pension obligations right now.
True.
In order to pay dozens of people hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're not even able to get gloves for ex-cons who need the job trying to make their lives right. Our money, right? One here, goes like this. One, she's trying to protect assets. That could be one. Mm-hmm. Some shit's coming down.
That's true.
Two, it could be she's trying to protect her brand. You know, she's a businesswoman. You don't want to be parading around as the cuckold, right? So it's like, let's cut it. It's embarrassing to me. Three, it could be, man, you're putting out statements, and I'm not even, maybe they didn't talk to her about the statement. Maybe they're just playing politics with her. Or four, most likely, what you're saying. Like, it just hurts, and I'm out.
Plenty of options. And the divorce suit was filed the same day that the recall petition language was also approved by the courts.
Big day for him.
So he had a double hit that day.
Oh, so here's the layout, and then we'll get to the Chrysler deal real quick, Steve, okay? But the thing that's most bothersome to me, doesn't matter if it was, pull that up, Joey. We want to hear the young guys' thoughts on this. If you can talk in anytime you want. It doesn't matter I don't think they're going to catch anybody in illegalities, maybe fine them for not properly accounting for, you know, gala money and nonprofit stuff supposed to go to a foundation. Fact of the matter is, what you saw here was corporate sponsorship by, quote unquote, the media partners. They were hosting the galas for this thing that the mayor's gal pal was running. They put stories in the paper and on the air. They attended luncheons with high-powered businesswomen in Detroit and being thanked for their participation. See, what that does is it tamps down dissent or introspection of yourself or boring down into what the government's doing. If you're a partner, you're not gonna go after them. You're not gonna look at the hockey arena or all these deals. You're gonna be nice. I heard of one reporter asking the mayor at a press conference if he still lived in the Manoogian. The mayor's people dialed up the news organization and the reporter was excoriated by one of her supervisors for asking the question. And then lo and behold, a week later, we get this. What? Hey, media, work for us, not with them. If you do that, then they will be part of us, keeping it clean.
But why now, Charlie? Steve, weigh in on this as well. I mean, why now? I mean, the media, and I think I did an op-ed piece about this some time ago. Once upon a time, you were hard-pressed to find good news or the light or the lining in any gray cloud about the city. Now you're hard-pressed to find anything other than good news. I mean, I don't think residents have a real accurate assessment of what's really going on.
They don't.
We've got this rose-colored picture painted about everything.
Well, you know, and you just go in. Let's stop being nice. Here's the thing. I know nice, well-to-do, hardworking white men from the suburbs, right? And they say, why don't you like Dugan? I say, well, first of all, his name's Duggan. You don't even know what you're talking about. Number two, it's got nothing to, I would like nothing better than to like the guy. It's not my job to like the guy. I do not hate the man. It's lonely to dig it up and show people, hey, these numbers don't add up, white man. You don't know how much they're pulling out of your pocket. I expect that your hard-earned dollar, black woman, be spent properly on the things we're saying. The crime stats don't add up, do they, Steve?
No, they don't.
The budget doesn't line up in the city, does it, in the long term?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Not at all.
What about this Chrysler deal? Does this thing line up?
No, it doesn't line up. And the
tell people what it is. Tell people what it is.
Yeah. All right. So last Friday, Duggan has a press conference, and he announces this great deal with Fiat to get them to bring a plant over to the east side where they're saying they could create 5,000 jobs.
Yeah, they're going to expand Jefferson North and then retool and expand a sort of fallow factory there, right? So they're going
to
make a Jeeps there, and they're going to expand this whole thing and make a campus. Really great news for Detroit. Maybe 5,000 jobs.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. And that was how it was sold to us by the mayor. But if you look at that press conference, he said that the city was making a public commitment to $60 million in our tax money. But when you actually look at the fine details, it's a lot more than that. I crunched some numbers and would like to share them with your listeners.
Okay, go on. These are public dollars you're talking.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's going to cost $107 million to buy the parcels and to prepare them. It's going to cost $43.5 million to give the Maroons cash. Now, remember,
the Maroons are the billionaire trucking family, and they own property that is needed over there at the site of the proposed factories, right?
Former train station owners.
Yeah, former train station owners.
Bridge builders.
Own the Ambassador Bridge to Canada. Okay, go ahead.
Big contributor to Duggan's campaign.
Okay, so it's also $43 million, you said, to buy their property?
$43.5 million to buy their property. And it's not just buying their property. The Maroons gave up 82 acres. In exchange for that, they get 117 city-owned acres. So
where? Probably places they like, right?
All over the place. Yeah, there's about 10 different locations, and they're all in areas that abut property they already have. This is prime real estate. And so not only do they get 30 more parcels than they gave the city, they also are getting $43.5 million in cash. But here's another one. This is a kicker. If there's a property that the city promised that's at I-94, it's an industrial area, if that doesn't come through, the city has to cough up $15 million to the Maroons, and the state has to cough up another $6 million. Then you have a tax abatements on top of that are $12 million. So if you look at the total cost, a $188 million, that's public money. And we're talking about not being able to pay people who are going house to house to board up these houses, risk asbestos exposure, and we can't pay them health benefits, but we're giving $188 million to billionaires. And Tony Suave is another one.
Don't go there, because you're going to confuse people with Tony Suave. Not everybody knows Tony, but let's just go unpack this a second.
All right, let's pass.
So the lion's share of that $180 million or so you're talking about is from the city of Detroit.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. They're also going to purchase the property from the Maroon family for, let's round it off to $40 million.
Yeah.
And then give them more property in exchange for the property that they just purchased.
Right.
So they get stuff for free.
Lots of stuff.
Okay. Remember something. We borrowed more than $130 million at junk bond rates to assemble this property purchase and then give away to Chrysler, right? Or Fiat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay interest on that. That's a 30-year bond. That's not $40 million, Steve. So take your pencil out. Normally, you can just double that over 30 years. That's just mm-hmm. loose math. You're talking anywhere from 80 to 90 million. Now, mm-hmm. has anybody told us what's anticipated to come into the city coffers each year? So when do we recoup through these 5,000 jobs, they're saying?
That's what I was going to say. What do we get in exchange for all this?
We get jobs.
Jobs, but...
But this deal's been bubbling for a decade now. Go ahead, yeah. Steve.
But one of the reasons that Duggan's saying this is such a good deal is because, as he said, Detroiters will get the first chance at the jobs. That's not true. The UAW gets the first chance. The people who've been laid off are going to get a chance to get that job back at the new plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by then, Detroiters can
apply.
But there's not a single requirement that there has to be a certain number of employees hired or a certain number of those employees being Detroiters. So we've seen this over and over and over again. When we don't set a limit, we don't set quotas, that we get run over. I mean, look at what happened with the Illiches. Promises broken. I mean, what's going to happen here? There's nothing to require them to hire Detroiters, or how many Detroiters are they going to hire? There's no quota on it. So anything can happen. And if you use all this money, look at how much money they're putting into this project. They're spending anywhere between $40,000 and $65,000 per employee. So, you know, that's a lot of money.
So it's worth talking about. When are you going to write this thing?
I'm writing it right now.
And when will it be up?
I would say Monday.
Monday. Okay, so go to Metro. What's the website, dude?
It's at metrotimes.com. And the important thing about Monday is that the next day, on Tuesday, City Council is going to vote on this project. They were expected to approve it in a committee this Tuesday. They voted, actually it was yesterday, on Thursday. They voted to table it, as did the Brownfield board. And in fact, at the Brownfield board, one of Duggan's officials was having a hard time explaining why this was such a good deal for the city. And it was Tom Lawan. He's the guy that usually deals with the businesses. And he told the board, you have to really hold your nose for some of these deals. Because they stink.
He told the board, which is a rubber stamp board.
That's right. It is a rubber stamp board. And that was another surprise, is that board tabled it. But now Duggan's doing the thing that he always does, which is, there's a deadline. You bet we got to do it now, or we're going to miss out on the job. Well, I mean, this has been a long time coming. So what? What matters is if it's going to be another week or another month, when this plant may not be built for another 4 or 5 years before it's even complete.
Oh, and the what is that boat club down there? What's the name of that place?
Because there's one at the foot of Harding.
By St. Jean's there. With the
power. St. Jean, I can't think
that
of
that one's disappearing too.
Yeah, are they really?
Yep, it's going to go. Now, I'm for jobs, but it's got to.
At what cost?
It used to be, you know, like multinational corporations paid for it themselves.
Well, and this is the thing, when you start talking about council or they want to table this and move it to the committee.
So they can hide.
Exactly, because it doesn't bring as much attention as it does in the general session when everybody's talking. Because I understand the conversation was about 3 hours yesterday, and that nothing came out of it. So everybody's paying attention to it. I mean, the average citizen, they're resident, and they're looking at it. But next week, we'll be on to something else. So
that's
nobody
right.
will know. It'll sneak by. Happens all the time.
I don't know how we're going to, you know, look, in 2024, we're going to have to come up with $200 million a year, right, once the bankruptcy terms are over, to pay for pensions. Right now, everybody, I know you're bored, but this, I'm into it, man. I am I'm just a nut about numbers, right?
Nerd.
I'm just a nerd, man. I'm just into it. But right now, our discretionary portion of our budget, the Detroit right now, it's a $2 billion budget. The mayor's got a new one, $2.5 billion. But half the budget is unaccounted for. That's discretionary. You can spend it as you want. The other half, it's already earmarked. $1 billion, and we're going to have to come up with $200 million. We're going to have to find 20% in a budget that doesn't have it, in a city that's broke, year after year after year after year. So I really want to know. I'm for development. I really am. I want to know how these things are going to pay into that coffer.
Good luck.
You know, are the receipts, these income tax receipts, equal to the abatements and the sugar plums that were given? I don't know.
I would not want to be the mayor after this, because it's curious that still happens that this is all due when Duggan's second term ends.
Yeah. And again, if we got a big civil litigation with the feds on this demolition stuff, where's that going to come from?
But this new perception, Charlie, Steve, has been blinding for most people. They aren't digging deep. They aren't peeling back the onion or looking at, you know, all of these structural compromises that, you know, are going to impede the city. They're happy with the bright, shiny things, and everything is great. We got a new restaurant, and, you know, I don't want to talk about. Somebody said on Twitter the other day, I mean, I was just reading some of the comments.
Twitter?
I love Twitter.
This is no bullshit news. We don't do Twitter news.
I know, but I read. Oh. I love Twitter. Okay, well, I won't tell anybody, but I love it. But anyway, and so they were commenting on the story about Duggan's wife. And somebody said, well, this is 2019. We don't really care right now. Because somebody said, well, you know, when this was Kwame and Christine, it was all over the place. They said, well, this is 2019. We don't care anymore. Really?
That's just stupid.
It is.
Again, it's stupid because what we're talking about is the mayor's gal pal, right, with the garage door opener, money's being funneled that way, whether it's on the up and up or it's not. This goes to, look, when people go, well, where's the envelope? It's not like Kwame and Monica Conyers, where you go behind the Mr. Fish and you take $7,000 in a paper bag, right? This is sophisticated shit. It doesn't have to be bribery or kickbacks. And I'm not saying that's what happened. But what I'm saying is contracts, scratch my back, bids that are manipulated, or you get a window into it. We saw that. That's a matter of record now. That's also corruption. It's mismanagement. You should care. It's giving you a window.
But they don't seem to care. Everybody's happy. Nobody wants to say anything or talk about it. It's like, let's just pretend it doesn't exist. But like you said, Charlie, in 2024, we've got a tsunami coming.
We do. All right, Steven. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. And it just, one last thing. There was a report that was issued that was largely ignored by the Michigan League for Public Policy. And
say that again, so everybody here on Mother's Michigan, Day can Google that.
Yeah, Michigan League for Public Policy.
Never heard of it.
It's a Lansing-based nonprofit. They're focused on promoting racial equality and fighting poverty. Well, they found that Detroit's housing crisis, which is already a housing crisis, is going to get a lot worse because there's not enough affordable housing available in the city of Detroit, despite this boom in residential structures. So you got all these condos and lofts coming up, but we don't have enough affordable housing for the people who've chosen to live there here their entire lives, and it's going to get worse.
Boom, and the city's emptying out. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have the last word on this, Stephen. You really going to buy a $500,000 condo down there? Beware, because you might be homeless too come a couple years.
That's right.
You remember 2008? I'm sorry.
You're right.
That's now in my consciousness when I make my financial decisions. Don't overpay.
There are condos that they just completed, or they're in the last stage of completion, right on Mac, right before.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. They're starting at $399,000. And I said, who's going to pay $400,000?
I can't afford that.
And look at a parking lot for Whole Foods. Now, I know that's a circus in itself. It's not a $400,000 circus. Seriously. Yeah.
I mean, we were marveling in Ferndale, like a house was going for $400,000, 1920s, right? Couple thousand square feet, brick, a yard, driveway. You're like, the taxes? And I'm like, the taxes are half of what they are in Detroit. And the insurance is half. Like, how are you going to do that down there?
Public service is double.
And I want, look, I'm not here to shit on the city.
And I'm not.
That's my anchor, man.
That's not it. This is, and people have to understand, because somebody said, Karen, you know, you sound sometimes, you know, because I talk about this all the time.
With your business elite friends. They talk.
Well, they do. I mean.
What are they saying?
From everybody in business to the five random people I had a 20-minute conversation with in Kinko's, people say that Mike Duggan is a bully, that he's not receptive to anything other than what he wants. People are afraid to speak up and out because he will shut you out and down.
Mm-hmm.
And people are frustrated with where they see the city going. Everybody's for development, Charlie. I love the city. I've always loved the city. I want the best.
Your whole life spent serving this city.
And I want everybody here. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you earn. But this city should not be built or developed on the backs of the people. And Steve, I know you feel this way, who have held this city together by a string when everybody else was poo-pooing on this city. That's not how progress works. It's just not. And I think, you know, people talk about Trump.
Steve, stop doing that in the background, Steven.
I was going to say, that's not me.
What are you, washing dishes?
What am I doing?
Karen's going off here and you're washing dishes back there.
The clang of work.
Come on, sit quietly.
I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot what I was going to say now. But
no, you're saying that it's for everybody. But you look,
it should be for everybody. And you know, there was a time when nobody wanted anything to do with this city. We got kicked in the behind for encouraging people to come here and give it a chance. And now, you know, it's a very different dynamic. People are not the happy campers that they. I know what I was going to say. Detroit is a dichotomy of America.
Trump.
Trump, Duggan, dictatorship. You know who's being. I mean, and I'm not saying this. I've known.
Say
Mike,
it.
I've known Mike since he's a Wake County prosecutor. This is not personal. It's just not personal for me.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that any benefit should come at the expense of someone else. Under any circumstances.
Not bad. I'm like this. I'm caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. My thing is, then, now, who stayed, who didn't. You know how I feel about that. You know, I just don't think you should run people out. It just doesn't work well. It doesn't create a good fabric. But if you're buying in there, I'm at your service. I'm letting you know. Greek Town's getting shot up, and the merchants there are mad at me for saying it. And I'm like, no. No, because everybody knows, folks. They don't want to come down there. We're handed bullshit like the city's safe. Like, you didn't put the money into it. You put the money into programs and nonprofits and multinationals and hockey teams. You didn't do the stuff for me to buy a condo. So y'all buy a condo. Be happy with it. Steven, I'll talk to you next week, bro.
Hey, love you guys. Thanks.
Bye, Steve.
Yeah.
Some of us are prepared with our finances right now.
Speaking of such.
But might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations. Whether it be pension planning, life insurance, college savings plans, or tax-deferred investments, Luke Nowacki, who I can actually truly say is a friend of the show, can help answer all your questions and help plan your future finances. To all our first responders, let's make sure your pension is going to be enough. You keep us secure every day. Let us help plan for your future. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. 248-663-4748. Security and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities under marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, ADR Consultants. You can leave that on, man. I like that song. ADR Consultants, providing full business construction management and IT consulting services to corporations, municipalities, and law enforcement agencies. ADR has overseen more than $250 million in private and federal construction projects since 2001. Need to reduce costs, re-engineer processes, or develop alternative vendor sources? ADR Consultants have saved their clients millions of dollars. ADR Consultants are experts in procurement, grant compliance, and minority participation. Get the job done right, on time, on budget, honest, ethical, and smart. Call Barry Ellentalk at 248-318-9424 for a free consultation. And mention No Bullshit News, just so he knows.
Good for Barry.
Good for Barry. Good for Barry.
Good for Barry.
Barry's the one. Barry's the one that pointed out the hijinks going on in this demolition program. He was the guy managing it, and
he too was walking around having concerns with doing what was right. You know, I mean, it's like we're living it back in the 40s. You know, the gangster era, and you know,
it's hard to do right. That's a new sponsor of Bob and Joe.
Well, welcome,
Chicken
baby.
Joe and
that's cool.
Gravely Bob. All right, let's get to a little bit of state news. All right, we left you with Flint last week, so here's what's going on this week and next week. Federal whistleblower lawsuit in the mayor's office in Flint. The ex-CFO testified that she was approached in early 2016 by another Flint administrator who told her that Mayor Karen Weaver had directed any potential city donors to her newly formed nonprofit political account. The woman was summarily fired, and now she's in court trying to recoup. Another whistleblower. Okay? Now, the mayor's secretary said she felt uncomfortable about the direction she received from the mayor to tell people to direct donations that were supposed to go to the Flint water crisis into her political fund, right? The mayor, Weaver, testified in court that she wanted to get Mr. Gilchrist paid. Mr. Gilchrist is not the lieutenant governor, not related, but he is her close political advisor. And Mr. Gilchrist, right, was steered a $3 million contract by the mayor, right, in order to promote financial development in Flint.
So is this kind of behavior in an elected official handbook or something?
Well, I always say, you know what Flint is to me? Detroit North. That's just the north side. That is some garbage. That's garbage. Taking, well, you know, allegedly, it's in federal court. This is what's being said. Steering money for people in pain towards your political account. We also know that the contracts to replace the pipe are steered towards people that have no record of replacing pipes. We know they're exploring all holes, not ones that they think might be lead pipes. We're just wasting money, right? They're in bed with the trash hauler who's in federal prison now for those contracts. We're steering development stuff to connected people. What the fuck is this? Karen?
Politics, Charlie.
No, it's no, it's
yeah, it
it's
is,
shit.
Charlie,
our
but no,
politics are not shit.
No, that's not, public service is not BS. Politics is BS. There's a difference, and people get it confused. Mm. When you are an elected official, you are to be dedicated and committed to public service, not self-service. And the political game comes into play when you prioritize your wants, your supporters, over those who elected you to serve. And that's when it becomes political, because you're navigating a process, you're navigating payments, you're navigating things for your personal benefit. That's not public service.
And then how do we stop it?
It's a good question, Charlie. Because
I got
you
the
know,
answer.
What is it?
The press.
That helps.
Inform the public, and not only inform the public, you inform law enforcement. FBI, antitrust, attorney generals. How else do they know about anything?
It's true.
Man, without we're going to die.
But if there's no oversight, or if it's self-oversight, you're right. Nobody's paying attention. And
Joey,
sometimes it's years down, you know.
Joey, young man, do you vote?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you read?
Yes.
Well, what's your feeling on this, man? You're the one, your generation is the one with a mountain of debt. No work.
I mean, other than holding them accountable by the press, I mean, I suppose term limits on things, you know, shorter term limits so that you can't get in there and just set up shop.
Wrong! Okay. You know why term limits don't work? I know why we put them in, because everybody's a corrupt political crony. We want to get them out of there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now all we do is shuffle people in and out who don't know what the fuck they're doing, and all the lobbyists run the government. I'll give you case in point to our next story. What is up with the insurance deal in Lansing, right? Now, the House and the Senate both, because we pay the highest auto insurance rates in the country, right? And we're the only ones, I think, that pay for catastrophic, unlimited.
Unlimited PIP, which is unlimited personal injury protection. We are the last state in the country.
In the union.
To have no-fault insurance and unlimited PIP.
Okay, so the House and the Senate passed similar bills, right? Which basically would create a range of personal injury protection, right?
Options to choose from.
Right. So you could have unlimited. You're going to pay more for unlimited. You could pay less for $100,000, $50,000, $25,000, right?
Or none at all.
Now, the Senate also passed this, but there are no guarantees that the insurance company's rates would drop. You could, under the House bill, pay less for 5 years and they could move them right back up. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are projected or promised, but no guarantee in rate reductions. And people are so overpaid for insurance that they were excited about hearing an estimated $12 a month average reduction that they were excited about. You know, and I think people need to really look at what are you saving and what are you giving up. And it's repackaged D-insurance, which you realize was shot down. There were a lot of factors that came into play there. There were some Detroit legislators that didn't support it, that Duggan thought should have supported it. Then you had the issue with one of his key water carriers that got into some personal issues and had to leave office. So that kind of fell flat. But we've been having this conversation for 99 years. You remember when Butch Hollowell was with the NAACP? He was with the state. I mean, we've been having this conversation about insurance forever. Mike Duggan supported
this
when he was chair of DMC.
Well, he supported it now.
No, he supports that.
He supports what the House and the Senate did.
But he supported no fault, unlimited personal injury protection as CEO of DMC. Hospitals and insurance companies make out like fat rats on this, on both sides. They do. And it's not the consumer. It's also not necessarily the reason why Detroiters pay the highest insurance in the state of Michigan. There's a redlining component there. Your credit score, your zip code, your employment status. I pay X amount of dollars in Detroit. Unlimited personal injury protection. If I drive 3 miles east to Grosse Pointe Shores, I still get unlimited personal injury protection, but my rates go down 50%.
Well, I can see that.
I understand. How? But so why?
Well, because like you're just talking about the collision part, not
I'm talking period.
Wait, but not insuring your car for theft and stuff. You mean just for auto accident?
No, I mean straight insurance. When I first came back from Michigan
State. Well, wait a minute. Let's focus this because this is kind of dry. So answer this question.
Okay.
Are you talking about just the
coverage?
Personal protection, or are you talking about car theft?
I'm talking just your
basic. The whole note?
I'm talking your basic auto coverage. I'm not talking about
PIP.
Yeah, well, no, that's part of it because we have no fault. You have to have no fault.
Right.
So regardless of the level of coverage, it's cheaper in the suburbs. Like when they put those billboards up.
Again, wait a minute.
Okay.
So
I'm all excited. I'm sorry.
My auto insurance goes, look, if I bought the car and I'm making payments on it, that's part of my insurance. Yes?
No.
It's not?
If you bought the car,
I got to insure that. Look, I got a new car from GM. I'm making payments. I got to insure this baby for theft, right?
That's part of it, yeah.
Okay. Then there's the component about personal injury.
Collision, medical coverage. Like, is it going to be your primary or is it going to be your secondary? If people have health care coverage, then it becomes
okay, so let's strip it down. So if I was only getting basic personal injury, no fault, without the insurance for scratching the car.
Just basic coverage.
Just that. Okay, I can discuss it with you.
Okay.
But I will say there are probably more accidents in Detroit. There are less people with driver's license that drive in Detroit.
You have more people in Detroit. You have a larger footprint.
I mean, per capita.
Yeah, but you have a larger. Yeah, so of course.
But if the numbers tell me there's more accidents in Detroit that occur in the city. Yeah, you're going to pay more.
Yeah, Charlie.
That's actuarial stuff.
But Charlie, seriously, I mean, this...
I mean, I'm going to take a look at the numbers.
Okay, and I know, and I hope you do. But the thing about it is that if I pick up the phone and call AAA now, I think I can do this once a year and give them my credit score.
Yeah.
It'll go... My rates will go up or down. What does my credit score have to do with my driving ability?
I agree.
My zip code. What difference does that make?
Well,
now, you're talking about... But Charlie, that... When somebody broke in my car, my truck, actually... I was in the mayor's office. My car was parked 27 feet from the guard's desk. It happens everywhere. The first time I ever had a car issue was in Farmington Hills. It happens everywhere.
Yeah, but see, that's what an actuarial table is. At what rate? See, again, if we're talking the whole thing, theft, right? Insurance for theft.
Okay.
Is this, I don't quite get this. I don't think a lot of people do. Are we also talking about theft rates?
Well, think about
just injury rates.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this though. Remember when they required you to come in and file a police report if in fact your car was stolen in the city of Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people have issues with their vehicles outside, but they come and claim that it happens in the city of Detroit.
That's true. So you know what else they do?
Dump.
They kill their wives and dump them in Detroit.
That's true.
And their garbage.
And their dogs.
Not me. I love my dog.
I love my dog, too.
If you were a dog, Karen, what kind of dog would you be?
I could see myself as the dog that I have. I have a Shepherd Husky mix.
Shepherds are scary.
I would probably be my dog, Remy.
Is she blonde?
No, she's dark. She's got...
That's it. True to yourself. That's it.
Black and brown, but she's got funny color eyes. And she's a snob, though. No, my eyes are brown, Charlie.
I was looking. Karen describing herself.
No, I'm not.
She have long hair?
She's got shepherd, you know, short hair. Like, well, I guess it's long hair, but not long.
Shepherds freak me out.
Yeah, but she's gorgeous. You never seen my dog? You've seen her, Charlie.
I just can't remember.
Yeah. Your dog. Your dog is intimidating. What kind of dog would you be?
I am a dog.
Hit the applause button on that one.
Thank you. I think I would be like my dog. I had a dog who was, what was that? Well, he's part wolf and he was part Newfoundland.
Wow.
That thing was built to last. He could sleep in the snow. He could hunt. He could swim. He was great.
It sounds like your dog now, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, I like big.
That dog is solid.
I like big, tough.
Like a rock on 4 feet.
Let me do this because I got an announcement I got to make. At least I need some advice. Hey, man, do me a favor. Can you call Ed? All right, bro. All right. Dr. Yaldo, want you to know it's that time of year when you can officially go outside and get your freedom to move back. And swimming, boating, and playing sports are so much better when you're free from the annoyance of glasses and contacts. You know it's true. Life will be better and easier to never have to think about glasses, contacts, reading glasses. It's why you really need to call the Yaldo Eye Center, where Dr. Yaldo provides CATS custom LASIK, the most advanced in the world, where most people get better than 20/20 vision. And it's where you can also get the amazing multifocal lens implants, the Rolls-Royce solution for people 50 and older that allows you to see the tiniest type to go along with great distance vision. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's most experienced eye surgeon with over 50,000 custom LASIK and multifocal implant procedures. You've been putting it off for years, settling for old technology, so now's the time. Between the tax return, the fresh health savings account, and the awesome no bullshit discount, there isn't a better time to make the call. The evaluation is free. Call 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to the YaldoEyeCenter.com, which Bob is doing immediately on his return from Africa. He should have gone before.
So he could see everything.
Now look, here's the national news. Attorney General William Barr held in contempt by the House subcommittee for not turning over the unredacted Mueller report. There's three options here, Karen. There's actually four, but there's three that Congress can do. They can detain him. They can grab Barr and throw him in a pokey. They can do that. They're not going to do that. Political problem. They could take him to court, like they did with Eric Holder. And that'll take years because Eric Holder and that Fast and Furious and the guns and all the ATF, that finally we reached a decision when Trump took office. That was Obama's attorney general. They can start impeachment proceedings, but most of America doesn't want it, even though most of America doesn't like Trump, right? We just don't want it. So you know what we can do? Want to know what the option is?
What?
The election.
True.
It's coming. We the people make the choice. I think that's what we want. And in that spirit, yes, the New York Times has announced they're going to be flooding the zone in Michigan. We're really important, and they're going to spend a lot of time here, even though up to date, they haven't spent a lot of time here. So what are they going to learn? What are they going to learn?
Where are they going to learn is the question, Charlie.
And how fast can you learn?
That's what I'm saying. Are they going to get another house here like they did before for a year?
Oh, Time Magazine?
That was Time, yeah. New York
they came
Times.
In and ripped off all my stories and did them worse.
For a year. So the question is...
They
is
sold it, the house for a loss?
Is it going to recycle what they get from local sources? Or are they going to do the flyby like most media outlets do? But you got flyby looking at flyby. So... who's going to know what's happening?
And they don't do it right with an attitude. I'm going to tell you what it's simple. We're like the rest of America. Here's the deal. 90%, the bottom 90%, and it's crazy to call 9/10 of the population the bottom. That's what's going on. 90% of us have not received a raise in 20 years. Right? You take the top 10 off, we haven't moved. Also, the economy's smoking. A smaller percentage of the population is working now than we did 20 years ago.
But are you counting like those gentlemen who were cleaning out the house making less than $13 an hour with no benefits?
You count them.
That's what I'm saying. So right? let's look at the quality as well.
Exactly. There you go. That goes to the we haven't received a raise. Yeah. It's a Pop-Tart economy. Okay, it's better than what it was, but, I mean, everybody's, I'm just, I think I need to run for president.
That's a great idea, Charlie.
Of Michigan. Okay. Just in Michigan.
How about Detroit?
Well, that's in Michigan last time I checked.
I know. I'm saying not just Michigan. How about run for president, air quotes, of Detroit? We got a mayor election coming up.
I don't live in Detroit, so, you know, I mean.
You can. Neither did Duggan. Small caveat.
Hey, get me Ed on the phone. Get the No Bullshit News Hour official pollster.
Ed is the man.
Yeah, Ayatollah Apostarola. Ed Sarpolis. Target Insight. Ed is the man, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's a man that guy's.
I'm glad you know about
Ed, I'm not
man.
Finished. Wait good. A minute. Wait, I haven't finished introducing you. Ed Sarpolis, the Ayatollah Apostarola, the official pollster of the No Bullshit News Hour. Ed, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome in.
Well, that's good. The biggest problem we're having is the fact we have those overpriced reporters making so much money, the rest of us can't make any money. That's really what's going on here. Let's be honest.
Ed, what does it look? I want to run for president. If I want to run for president, but just in Michigan, so I could, you know, get to the national convention with a few delegates and make our voice heard. How do I do that?
Well, in Michigan, there's a couple options. In Michigan, if you're part of the major parties, all you need to do is to get on the list from the national party that you are running for president as a Democrat. And so by the end of October this year, that list from the Democratic Party is sent to the Secretary of State of Michigan saying, these are all the people that are running as Democrats on the national ticket, which means allows you to run for president in Michigan. Or number two, you make so much news that you're running as a Democrat that the Secretary of State, through its clippings and its news services, says, well, he is running for president. We'll put him on the list. If you're not on any of those lists, either the secretary thinks that you're making a lot of news that you're running as a viable candidate or the national party, then you're going to have to go and file an affidavit or possibly have to collect 30,000 to 60,000 signatures.
Okay. So I just got let me see if I got this right. I got to suck the ass of the party bigwigs in order for them to put me on their cool person list. Yes?
That's correct.
I can just get a signature from these creatures in the back-filled, smoke-filled room. Let me say that again. The creatures in the smoke-filled back room. Is that right?
Okay. Well, there aren't many smoke rooms anymore, but yeah, you're right.
I smoke. Well, who are these people where I say...
Well, the bottom line is that in Michigan, you've
Ed
got...
Ed won't say.
Well, in Michigan, you've got the leaders of the, you know, all congressional districts, you know, the Democratic candidates, I mean, or incumbents. You've got national party leaders that are from Michigan, whether they're union leaders or business leaders that are Democrats that are appointed to the slate. So the quickest way is get the people in Michigan who are our official representatives of the Michigan Democratic Party being sent to Washington for their meeting saying, we represent Michigan Democrats, they put your name on the list.
Shit. That's really news. Ed, you're the shit. Okay. Now, if... They don't like me. You know that. And you hear, man, you circulate amongst the power clique. They all hate me.
Mm-hmm.
They do, don't they? Democrats hate me. Republicans hate me.
Well, but the point being is that, you know, it's like,
answer the question,
the Bible,
Ed, I'll ask, wait a minute. Stay on point. They hate me, don't they?
No, they just don't like you.
How come?
Well, remember the Bible says I have to love you. I just don't have to like you.
Right. But they don't. Well, what do they have against me?
Well, sometimes you get into their craw. You know, you create too much turbulence. You know, it's like you're doing with the mayor of Detroit, Mike Duggan, who's part of that national committee team, okay? You know, you cause a lot of tension for them.
Yeah, but that's why I think I got a shot. Because, first of all, I can't get low enough to kiss that little guy's ass. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Tell him for me. The other side, Republicans, they can take a flying leap, too.
Well, then the only thing that you get, if you really want to do, the only choice you can do is do what Pat Paulson did back in the 70s when he ran for president after he was always running for president on Laffin, and get your name out there as I'm running as a Democrat and just keep pounding that media. The media recognizes you, and that's what you have to do.
Okay, so like you said, if I'm recognizable enough, the Secretary of State could just put me on the list?
If you're recognized as a Democratic candidate, yes.
I mean, just it's up to her. Like she would reckon she by fiat.
Well, there's criteria. Okay, I mean, if you read the law, you know, is required to issue a list of individuals generally advocated by the national news media to be potential candidates for the parties entitled to participate in the primary. So the national media has to recognize you as a candidate, as a Democratic candidate.
The national media or the local media or the state media?
No, the national media.
Well, who's on that list?
Well, you know the national media. It's all the major networks and all the major newspapers and all the major radio stations.
Wait, New York Times and Fox? I already did that.
Well, the point being, they got to start talking to you on a regular basis, on a regular storyline. That's what it takes.
Oh, ready for this? Breaking news. I'm going to be on Martha McCallum, Fox News, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Speaking directly to Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tune in next Wednesday, 7 o'clock.
Okay, if you're going to be running for president, you have a conflict of interest. You have to notify Joe Biden when you're questioning him that you're a potential candidate.
No. It's just a message to Joe.
I'm tossing my hat in.
Yeah, I'm just going to announce it next Wednesday on Fox News, and then I'm going to go to Jocelyn Benson at the Secretary of State, who was made by Mike Duggan and whose husband works for Mike Duggan, and whose Jocelyn Benson's husband was supposedly on the team helping raise, money for the Gal Pals nonprofit. You heard about that?
That's right. That's because Jocelyn Benson's husband has done that for a living long before he went to work for Duggan. His career has always been a nonprofit fundraiser.
Oh, he was actually a serviceman in Afghanistan. He's quite an impressive guy.
Yes. Well, that's after he left to after his wife's last run for office many years ago. Then he decided to go to join the Rangers.
And that, man, that's something. Because he felt that the poor and the minority shouldn't shoulder all the burdens, right? And so he...
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, seriously, that's...
Just like Buttigieg.
What?
Just like candidate Buttigieg decided to go in the army because when he was going door-to-door, he felt that being him of such prestige, worth, and schooling, that the fact he felt he should share and join the service also.
You pronounce his name wrong. It's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
You know, I tried enlisting in the Marine Corps after 9/11. You know, I'm a New Yorker, and I went to Times Square to that recruitment center, and I was like a year too old. They said, you got to get a letter from your congressman.
That's true. Well, when I was in college, I was looking to join the Navy Air Corps because I wanted to become a pilot, but with my buddy, but they told me because I wear glasses, I could manage planes, but I couldn't fly them in the war. They teach me to fly, so I decided not to go into the Corps. So,
yeah, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Should have gone to Yaldo.
Oh, you go to Dr. Yaldo and get those fixed. Maybe, you know. Okay.
Well, back then, they didn't have those available for me.
So finally, Ed, I could gather how many signatures would I need if I just wanted to, like, look,
depending on what the bottom line depends, the Secretary of State has a floating count somewhere between 30 and 60. I don't know what's being finalized for this election cycle. Or you could become the presidential nominee for one of the minor parties in Michigan and have them say that you are their representative as their presidential candidate for November of 2020. And that way you wouldn't have to collect signatures, and one of the minor parties says you're their choice.
But here's the thing. You ever been to a libertarian convention?
I've been to all of them, yeah.
It's a freak show. I mean, what I want to do is get Michigan's delegates. I want to go to the convention, and I want to state the people's business.
Well, then you're going to have to get nominated by your state's representatives that you should be listed as a candidate, or make the national news cover you as a Democratic candidate between now and October on a regular basis.
Okay, one more thing, man, because we're running a little long, but this really this is informative.
Very much so.
Right now, Ed, the Ayatollah of Posterola, official No Bullshit News Hour. We have the best here, best crew in news. Who would win Michigan right now?
Right now,
amongst the Democrats, right now.
Oh, I would say it would have to be, if it was done today, it would be Biden.
It would be Biden. And have you done any polling, Biden versus Trump in Michigan?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that because when I was in the poll a couple of weeks ago, he had not really been officially announcing that he was in. And you don't want to do a poll amongst people who are not really in the race because you don't know whether or not they know about his running or not running, and then causes you a problem.
What's your gut telling you?
I would say if it was today, if it was today, Biden would win the primary. Yeah.
And then if it was Biden Trump, who's winning?
Today, it'd be very close still, because you still got those people in Macomb County, in the Upper Peninsula, that they got to be convinced that Biden is not Hillary Clinton and does have a jobs plan and cares about them specifically, which he has a record, but he's going to have to spend some time here before that happens.
Yeah. One last thing, man. And really, thank you just for jumping on like that. We're going to get a lot of attention here in Michigan, aren't we? They're going to spend buku dollars. New York Times is coming. I mean, this is a linchpin state, is it not?
It is, until it's proven not to be. If you can remember John McCain, eventually everybody pulled out of Michigan because, you know, John McCain wasn't getting support of his party. And remember, what's the big story is that right now we've got the U.S. Senate race with Gary Peters, okay? Which is, and bottom line, Trump does not want John James, the last candidate to run U.S. for U.S. Senate as a Republican, not to run against Gary Peters, because he thinks that would cause too much distraction for his run for president. And wants John James to run against Haley Stevens in the 11th Congressional District.
Why would John James listen to what Donald Trump wants at this point? Because he really kind of threw him under the bus a little bit.
Well, the point being is John James is going to need people to write him checks. And I agree with you, but right now Trump's looking what's going to distract everybody. Republicans in Michigan wanted John James to run against Gary Peters because John James comes very close to Debbie Stabenow 2 years ago and picked up an above average number of African-American voters. So they were going to say run him against Gary Peters. But the analysis believes that Trump says we don't want the attention on the U.S. Senate race, which is a statewide race, because that distracts from the presidential race. So they're encouraging him to run against Haley Stevens. Because that was sort of a Republican seat and feels that he would be best suited there because that's where he lives.
Well, he's also got to win something. They can't just be throwing the black guy up there to keep losing, right?
Well, I know that, but that's why remember, they've been doing it since Bill Lucas, but Wayne County prosecutor. But the bottom line is that he's going to have to win, and Haley Stevens' race would be a very good race for him. The only problem is going to be is the fact he may have a challenger in the primary on the Republican side. Because Rocky Raczkowski may get back into that race.
Rocky, oh man, I've got to run for something. Rocky.
Well, you know, Duggan might not be running for mayor in a couple of years. He may run for mayor for Detroit. You can go after that.
Ooh, that's a thankless job. Look, how much, real quick, you're plugged in. How much is this demolition thing lurking above City Hall and Lansing? I made a proclamation. I wonder what you're hearing.
My belief is the fact is that because the state and the city of Detroit are both at fault, the people don't figure out who do you go after. And so if it was all Detroit, this would be done and over with. But because the state, this is right, my understanding, because of their lack of accountability, they're trying to figure out if you go after the state, then you're not going to get state support helping going after Detroit and Mike Duggan. So they have to decide what to do, and there's probably some kind of settlement being done.
So it's a big deal, and it's at the highest levels, and they're trying to figure out some kind of justice without blowing everything up. Yeah?
That's correct.
Shit.
But that's been the history of federal investigations in Michigan going back since the 50s. This is not unusual. I look what happened with Ed McNamara and Mike Duggan twice when he was asked to leave different posts.
What?
This is...
What do you mean? What do you mean twice at different posts?
Well, the point being is he was part of the McNamara crowd, okay?
Yeah.
And so they were always at, they were sort of saying, "Don't run again, otherwise we'll be coming after you." So.
Huh? You mean like when he was at the prosecutor's office and as the deputy county executive?
That's what the rumor is.
And then at the DMC with the big settlement on the fraud.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. The trouble is, the fact none of that's been made public or verified publicly. But I mean, those were the rumors behind the scenes.
You're always a font. Listen, do you run campaigns? Do you advise?
Yes. I've done over 400 campaigns in my life.
I might be calling you.
Okay, what are you going to call me? As long as it's a nice name.
I don't want to tell the public. But you know, I did get a call from the Democrats and the Republicans searching around to see if I was interested in one of the congressional seats. And I said to them both,
well,
I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican.
Well, if you want to get into politics, that's a congressional race. If you win a congressional seat, that's a lifetime job. And you can still do your belly, you can still get your bully pulpit out there, because if you're, you can always do that, because as a congressman, you can say what you want pretty much. So go for it.
Yeah, well, as Karen said, I don't want to get into politics. I want to get into public service. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks, Ed.
You take care.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You should put that on this card.
What?
Whatever you said. Say it again. Ed Tsarpolis, the
Ayatollah Postarola. Yeah. He's.
Oh, he is. He. You think you're a numbers nerd? No. You have a conversation with Ed. He grasps it. So
that guy is well known amongst everybody
and well respected. I mean, yes. He comes legitimately. So
and he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Well, all right. Having said that, I'd say another no bullshit news hour, part of the Red Shovel. What is it?
Red Shovel Networks.
It's not Red Shovel Studio Network.
Just Red Shovel Networks.
It's the Red Shovel Network. Yep.
To shovel up the...
Tell all your friends about us. Apparently, people think I died. Yeah.
Why?
Whatever happened to you?
Now, Charlie, you got over 1 million downloads. People know you're around.
I know.
You still have just another 1 million people that want to see and touch you.
Tell all
you...
Oh.
Not like that.
And I can be in Congress and tweet creepy. That all over the place. Yeah, baby. All right, try to love one another. You can't, just try to get along. Joey, thanks for working the board today, man. See you next week.
Great. See you guys.
Happy Mother's Day.